About anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another in brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continually, steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Verses 1 through 13, Romans chapter 12. Lord, thank you for your word, and thank you for the many ways your word empowers us, guides us, challenges us, counsels us, and teaches us to be better equipped and more faithful followers of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, with every passing day, help us to grow in our love for your word and grow in our commitment to reading and meditating on your word each and every day. Help us to be faithful to teach and train our children to read and meditate on your word daily as well. And Lord, with every passing day, help us to grow in our understanding of the fact that you've called us and our purpose is to hear your word and to walk in it each and every day. Thank you for the wonderful gift of your word, and anoint us all afresh with the spirit that would encourage us to fill our hearts and our minds with your word daily, and anoint us afresh with the spirit of intercession and prayer that we would be a people who live a life given to prayer every day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Let me remind you once again, please, we want to encourage you to take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like those pages for us if you would. Also invite you to go to our website at urbanfamilytalk.com and subscribe. I encourage you to take time to read some of the blogs, some of the articles that you'll find there that will be, I think, a real encouragement to you and insight, helping you to better understand some kingdom issues that we as believers should be aware of and should be involved in as well. Also want to encourage you to take advantage of getting some of our, take advantage of the free mobile apps we have available for your iPhone and Android devices. Just go to your app store and search for Urban Family Talk. That way you can download the app and take Urban Family with you anywhere you may choose to go. Our first guest for today by phone is with us. She is Lenore Thorne. She's a high school student, a junior in high school, and had the privilege of meeting her by phone, but also seen her on videotape recently. I had a chance to see her as she shared a powerful speech about the need for us to stand for life. Lenore, how are you today?
Good, thank you.
That's good. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. And again, haven't had the privilege of meeting you in person as of yet, but certainly was grateful to get a chance to meet you both by phone and to hear this and listen to the speech that you shared. And you won first place in the Tennessee Right to Life Oratory Contest, correct?
That is correct.
All righty then. So you're with us today. And First, as we start off, I'm going to ask if you'll tell our listeners just maybe a couple more things about you. And in just a moment, you're going to share your speech with us then. So tell us a little bit more about yourself.
Well, we live on a farm in Middle Tennessee and raise goats and sheep. And I'm hoping this year to volunteer at our local crisis pregnancy center.
That's great. That's great. Okay, then. So you're going to go ahead and at this time share the speech that you shared that allowed you to win the first place with the Tennessee Right to Life Orator Contest. So please go ahead and share it at this time.
Right. A young woman has recently discovered that she is pregnant. She has a life of her own to live and exciting dreams to attain. And this pregnancy does not fit in with her plans. In fact, it is an incredibly unwanted inconvenience. She has been told that she has a legal right to end the pregnancy and remove the lump of tissue that is in the way of the future that she so desperately desires. The fetus is part of her body after all, and no one should be able to tell her what she can and cannot do with her own body. And what other choice does she really have? Will she choose abortion? If all she's been told is true, then why wouldn't she? Abortion would appear to be a perfect solution that will make her life easier and allow her to go on with the future she wants. But is all that she's been told really true? Is the pregnancy just a lump of tissue? Is the fetus really only another part of her body? Will this decision actually get her the future she wants? Is abortion truly her only option? First and foremost, it is important to determine what exactly is meant by the vague words lump of tissue, because that could mean any number of things. We need to be clear that when an abortionist refers to removing the lump of tissue, they really mean ending the precious life of a developing human child. Clarity of words is also important when an abortionist refers to ending or terminating a pregnancy, which results in the death of the child residing in the protective womb of its mother. Abortionists often use evasive language like this to try to take the attention away from what's really going on, the murder of a baby. This mother has been told that the fetus is actually not a human being, though. Is that true? What makes someone human? Is it where they are located? Is it the physical or mental abilities they possess? How about their age? Would a special needs 6-year-old be less human than a successful college student? The only consistent answer is that at the moment of fertilization, God creates a new life with an eternal soul. God clearly illustrates his recognition of the preborn as human persons in his word. Psalm 139:13 through 16 says, "For you formed my inward parts, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." Even secular medical texts refer to fertilization as the moment when the egg and sperm become a human being. Dr. Louis Friedhelder, in the medical textbook, Biology of Gestation, refers to fertilization as, quote, "that wonderful moment that marks the beginning of life for a new individual." Unquote. Our new mother has been told that this life is just another part of her body, much like her appendix or tongue. What makes the unborn baby different? The difference is in its DNA. The mother's arms, legs, and tonsils all share the same genetic code that makes her her, but it is not so with her fetus. At the moment of fertilization, her future child already has its own unique DNA that is different than both its mother and father and will determine how it grows and matures. It is distinctly separate from the mother's body, though dependent on and inside the mother's body, but still not her same body. Even our nation's laws resoundingly support this fact. In 2000, the House of Representatives voted unanimously to delay capital punishment for a pregnant woman until after her child was born. Obviously, there is no law protecting the mother's tonsils from capital punishment, so the unborn baby must not be part of the mother's body after all. So she now knows that the baby is an individual person and not part of her body, and that to end its life would be murdering another human being. But what about her life? Still, won't aborting the baby give her the future she desires? Many, many women that have chosen abortion have not gotten the future they wanted. After having an abortion, women are far more likely to have cancer, miscarriages, and later children born with disabilities. But the most damaging effect is on their mental health. Dr. Patricia Coleman, professor of human development and family studies at Bowling Green State University, states that 81% of females who had had an abortion were found to be at an increased risk for mental health problems, including depression, alcohol abuse, and suicidal behaviors. God's word in Romans 2:15 says, "They show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, while their conscience also bears witness." It is clear that God sees abortion as the sin of murder, and these women's consciences are crying out to them that what they have done is wrong. The young woman that is considering an abortion has a conscience, and even though it has likely been dulled by lifelong exposure to the arguments of pro-abortionists, God can still change her heart. Finally, we need to show the expectant mother that abortion is not the only choice she has. This is when God's people have the most opportunity to shine the light of Christ into this woman's life. She needs to know that there are people willing to support her, whether she chooses to raise the child herself or give it up for adoption. Pregnancy help centers are the first place she should turn to. These centers are lovingly run by trained individuals who know best how to help her through this difficult season of her life and provide her with the counseling and direction she needs to make the right choices for herself and her child. Amazingly, many of these centers can even use ultrasound equipment to persuasively show her the life within her womb that is already thriving. All it takes is one person that has the courage to tell her that the lump of tissue is actually a human being. Her baby is created in the image of God to bring him glory and further his kingdom here on earth. The fetus is not part of her body, but a separate person with its own DNA. Someone who will be willing to warn her that she is considering making a choice that could permanently damage her mind and body and do something that God sees as sin. Willing to give her other life-affirming options like adoption or assist her in keeping the baby herself. And with God's help, she will now choose life.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lenore. Thank you. That's a very, very powerful, powerful, touching speech, too. Now, tell me, Lenore, what grade did you say you're in?
I'm in 11th grade. It's small.
11th grade. How old are you?
I'm 17.
17. Okay, then. Well, again, you know, your speech allows you in a very articulate way to share a powerful word of wisdom that's enough, I believe, to persuade anyone on the other side to rethink heavily what they've said. And again, you present yourself very well, and that's a powerful speech. So thank you so much for taking the time to share it. And I tell you what, we're coming up on a break in just a few moments, but on the other side of the break, I want you to stay with us. I want to ask you just a few questions about what led up to your getting involved with the speech contest. And again, I think it's great that a young person like yourself would take it upon yourself to get involved and to be able to share such a powerful, powerful speech. We appreciate that. You're listening to the Hour in a Session. Our guest, phone guest, is Lenore Thorne, the first place winner of the Tennessee Right to Life Oratory Contest in the state of Tennessee. We'll be right back after this break.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they be secure who love you. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. Did you know if a Palestinian is convicted for terrorism in an Israeli court, the longer the terrorist stays in jail, the more money their family receives from the Palestinian Authority? Did you know if the terrorist dies as a result of their attack against Israelis, the terrorist's family will receive annual payments from the PA greater than the average Palestinian annual salary? Did you know the U.S. gives the Palestinian Authority over $300 million per year? That means American taxpayers provide this blood money.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net for more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
What does it take to live an uncommon life? Here's former Super Bowl winning coach Tony Dungy with today's uncommon moment.
Our world glamorizes luxury. Many people who live in luxury communities define their worth by the best that money can buy: houses, cars, clothes, exclusive memberships, and more. These things become the definition of success and the basis of self-esteem. But the truth is, it's never enough. When we get to the end of our lives and look at what we have left, we'll find that keeping up with appearances leaves us empty, but serving the Lord is fulfilling. God deserves to be honored. You can honor Him with your words, how you treat other people, and how you spend your time and money. Live for the values that reflect Him.
New York Times best-selling author Tony Dungy. Discover more at CoachDungy.com. That's CoachDungy.com.
Here's what you missed on Airing the Addisons.
I'll say this. What I think needs to happen is I think the husband needs to, never in front of anybody, because an audience always escalates a situation. It could be something real simple that the two of you have discussed before, but when you've got eyes, a second set of eyes, I don't care who it is.
You're right.
Right? It always escalates a situation. And you could say something the way you would always say it, always talk about it, but one element different, just having one person, now it's a performance. You see what I'm saying?
Definitely.
And so you always want to make sure that you don't do that. And so I think if, speaking as a wife, I want to know as close to that moment as possible in a way that protects my feelings that I have injured you.
Tune in weekday mornings, 6 to 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Music from the group Commission, the song Secret Place. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Father, we thank you, Lord, for Lenore. Thank you for the privilege of having her to come on today, and thank you for the speech she shared. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you moved on a young lady like her to be a vessel that you could use to do such an important work in your kingdom. Lord, raise up more and more young people like her that would be courageous enough to do the same thing, get involved with this important and critical battle, that we will one day see the ending of the tragedy of abortion in our world. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and grace. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, you're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our guest is Lenore Thorne. She's the first place a high school student winner of the Tennessee Right to Life Oratory Contest, and she'll be going to the Nationals again, Lenore, in July. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. July 1st.
All righty then. Just a few questions I'd like to ask you about your involvement in this very important pro-life opportunity. What made you get involved with the Tennessee Oratory Contest? What led up to your deciding to, you know, to plug into this contest?
Well, ever since I was in fourth grade, I've been involved in some form of public speaking, first through my 4-H club and then also in other at other contests and events. And mm-hmm. so as soon as I heard about the Right to Life Oratory Contest, I knew that it was something that I'd want to be involved in, even more than any of the previous involvements I'd had in public speaking, mm-hmm. because it would give me an opportunity to talk about topics that really mattered and were important to me personally.
Mm. Well, that's neat. That's a neat perspective. Well, why is this particular issue, why is this important to you? Why do you feel like it's such a critical concern in our culture today?
This issue is important to me because, honestly, it's really important to God, and protecting life is one of God's top priorities. Throughout the Bible, I believe God illustrates his recognition of the unborn, and I believe it's every Christian's responsibility to defend the unborn's right to life. An abortion does not only harm the unborn, though, and this is something that I think is often overlooked by a lot of the pro-life community. Mm-hmm. Abortion harms the mother in so many ways, both physically and mentally, and that alone should be a reason enough for abortion to be spoken out against.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. And, you know, again, Lenore, I'm just proud of you and thank the Lord for a young person like yourself who, by the grace of God, has come to understand an issue that it seems that sadly too many people seem to have a lot of trouble with understanding. But the Bible's very upfront and clear about this issue, and it's so good to see a young person that really grasps the wisdom of God that lets us know, for example, it's just captured in one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, correct translation, you shall not murder or take innocent life. That's not really hard to understand, but the kingdom of darkness would like to cloud the issue and make people think that it's a much more difficult issue to really understand than it really is. God loves his babies, and he doesn't want people destroying them. Just a couple more just brief questions, though. Apparently, you enjoy public speaking then, correct?
I do enjoy it. When I first started, of course, like most people, it's very scary to get up in front of a crowd and talk, but over time and practice, it gets easier each time.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
I believe this is something that God has gifted me with, and it's my responsibility to use that gift in a way that glorifies him and will further his truth.
That's right. That's right. And then finally, then, do you have in mind to share your speech in other places?
Yes, I would love to. I was able to share my speech at my local church and also at a pastor's breakfast recently, and I'm then asked to give my speech at a conference also this fall.
Okay. Well, that's good. That's good. Well, I hope at least 50 churches get in touch with you, invite you to come and hear it too, because they could all use hearing a wonderful and a powerful speech like the one you shared. And in just a moment before you go, I'm going to say a word of prayer for you. But how would you like for people, as you prepare for the national contest, what would you like for people to pray for you in your preparation for that important event?
For confidence, for having the ability to present this topic in a way that is compelling to people and will point them back to God. That's the main reason.
Okay. Okay. I'm going to take a moment to pray now. Father, thank you for Lenore, and thank you for your hand of grace upon her. Thank you for using a young lady like her to do such an important work in your kingdom. Lord, anoint her, bless and prosper her preparation time. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless her to excel at the national conference as well. But Lord, help open up many, many doors for her to go and share this same powerful message that many people, adults and young people as well, would be touched and inspired by, and whose eyes would be open to better understand the fact that you tell us to choose life. Thank you, Father. Bless Lenore according to your perfect will today. In Jesus' name, amen. Lenore, thank you so much for being with us on the Hour of Intercession today, all right?
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
All righty then. And again, for every single listener, I hope that you will take time to be sure and pray for Lenore and pray for the contest, and also pray that God would help all the young people from different parts of the U.S. that will be a part of that event. And of course, this event is going to happen at the National Right to Life event that's to happen in Milwaukee, Wisconsin in the month of July. But keep in mind, pray for God to really use these young people far beyond the reaches of this contest, because an important truth to understand is that the contest is a great opportunity. But of course, you and I know that the reason about which they're speaking is much bigger than any contest. It's about standing for life. And again, it's when I've had the chance to observe such an event in the past, it's a great opportunity to see young people standing up, speaking truth powerfully with passion to speak to such an important issue, one that hopefully God can use them to help open the eyes of many adults as well as young people too as well. Our next phone guest is a familiar guest. It's my daughter, Elizabeth Parker. She's on the line with us, and some may not know she is a filmmaker, amongst other things. And it's great to have her with us today. Elizabeth, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you, Dad?
Real good. Real good. Last time you were on, you were in studio with us, but didn't make it down today.
Yeah.
But glad that you could be on today. Now, a part of our having you on today was you. Thank the Lord for it. You were able to go to the same event that Lenore was at which she placed first place in the state of Tennessee, and you filmed some of the speeches, right?
That's correct. I got to film several of them. Yeah.
Okay then. Well, just as we start off, I'm going to ask you just right offhand, how did filming the speeches of these young people speaking so powerfully to such an important issue, how did that impact you as you listen to some of the speeches?
Ultimately, I'd probably have to say it. At first, it kind of felt like coming full circle, because I did have the opportunity when I was in high school to participate in the same contest.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be able to come back and see people, you know, who are still continuing to do this, of course, high school students, it really showed me what I couldn't really see when I was in high school competing, which is they really do weave. Back then when I competed, and even now the students who are currently competing have such a passion for this topic beyond the fact of it's a competition. Mm-hmm. Of course, you know, we're there to compete, but the passion and the drive that you hear and you feel, and you see the sincerity, you know, coming not just from their talent but their heart. Mm-hmm. It really resonates when you get to see that in person and via, you know, it being on film now.
Right. And, you know, one thing that it brings to my mind is that it's such a wise thing on the part of a ministry like Right to Life to do that on a national scale in a number of different states. Mm-hmm. And a fruitful thing mm-hmm. to be done as well. So it did bring back a lot of memories for you then, huh?
It did. It definitely did. Of course, you walk in there and you immediately know who the contestants are because they're the ones who are sweating. But overall, you know, you see them doing what, you know, I and fellow contestants when I was back in high school, you know, did right before we were getting ready to go up. You see them concentrating, going over their words, you know, restating facts and just really concentrating on the task at hand, because at the end of the day, it is a competition.
Right.
But then when they get up there and they get going, well, that's when you see just the heart of God in them really come alive.
Right. You know, I think of this that, like, you know, as I recall, like when you were in high school, you participated three of your four high school years. And,
yes, I did.
And you won first place in the county each time.
Mm-hmm.
And,
yeah, regionals. Mm-hmm.
And went on to the state competition as well. And it may be your winning had something to do with the fact that you're my daughter. I don't know. It might have something to do with that. But
yeah, that probably had a little something to do with that.
Mm-hmm. But, of course, I remember, again, being really impacted by, again, the passion, as you just alluded to, the passion that these young people spoke to, with which they spoke to this issue. And I think it's something very much so the body of Christ would be wise to really put to use in a much greater way. So I want to ask if you'll take a moment, would you pray for just for the church to really make greater use of young people in addressing the life issue, and anything else on your heart to pray as it relates to this issue, but specifically that the church would really, just to really mobilize young people to be involved in this important fight. Would you pray for that?
Definitely. We have enough time before the break?
Yes,
we do.
I wanted
to be sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Dear God, I just thank you for
thank
the heart
you,
of the youth of today, dear God. I thank you for their passion, their drive. I thank you for how they are just driven
thank
to do
you,
and to be about the things of you. Lord Jesus, we know that abortion is something that hurts the heart of you. And Jesus, we just bring this matter before you, and we just pray that the youth of not just our own country, but worldwide would be invigorated to go about fighting to see that this be put to an end. Lord Jesus, I pray that you ignite the churches across America and across the world to get to encourage their youth to get involved with the Right to Life contest, but then also actively involved in other areas in their community that will put a stop to this, whether it be through legislation, volunteering at their women's health centers, or just speaking out
thank
on
you,
what
Lord
they
Jesus.
Know about the evils of abortion. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for how you are moving across this nation, and we will one day see it be put to an end.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elizabeth. I appreciate that. And let me mention to our listeners, too, if whether it's a parent or someone that worked with young people, if you would be interested in either one of your children or a young person you know involved in a speech project that's coming up where we're basically trying to recruit young people just like Lenore to be involved in this in a project as it relates to speaking out, standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. My email is jparker@afa.net. Please get in touch with us if you'd like to see if this is something that the young person, either your child or a young person you know, would like to get involved. It might be a young person that likes public speaking or is involved in that, but we'd like to hear from you. Again, my email is jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to talk to you and give you more information about this important project, because a goal is for us to really, by the grace of God, put to work some of our young people who have gifts and strengths and passions to do great things, to help them, help put them to work for the kingdom of God in this very important effort then. So, now, Elizabeth, one more an additional question I want to ask you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Why, in your opinion, is capturing these speeches by students like this a wise and a fruitful thing to do? Why is it a good thing to put it on film? Why would you say?
I would say that it's important to capture these speeches for the same reason that it's important to Americans to capture visually the State of the Union address given by the President of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
It's a message that needs to be heard by everyone.
Hmm.
And until abortion is put to an end, is made, you know, illegal, and really, it's not just made illegal, but also the hearts and minds of people who are affected by it are changed, then any message about speaking out against it needs to be captured and broadcasted to the masses.
That's right. I appreciate you sharing that, and, you know, I think of this, that hearing the voices of youth speaking to any important issue really can have just a unique impact. I'm reminded of an instance where, and of course our listeners know my wife's name is Birdie, that she was doing a children's message once, and she wasn't talking about the issue of life at that point. She was just asking kids, what are they thankful for? And some of them said the usual, thankful for mom, for my home, thankful for my family. But then two of the children, two little boys, said, I'm thankful my mama didn't abort me. And both of them were in the vicinity of 4, 5, 6, very young children. But the fact is, children, too, know what the reality of abortion is about to some extent. And many times they recognize they sometimes have a brother, a sister, a cousin. It's not here because of it. So when children speak out, it makes an impact as well. We'll be right back after this break.
The Awakening on Urban Family Talk.
You know, a bunch of people who thought Obama was the Messiah. There are a lot of people who are kind of treating Trump like that.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Folks, I'm not looking for a Messiah. I've already got one. His name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. We put our ultimate trust in him. All other human beings are fallible.
The Awakening, weekday mornings at 9 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Our country is suffering because of lack of leadership, division, and a disdain for godliness. Urban Family Talk exists to be a prophetic voice as we speak on matters of religion, family, and culture. We will not be silent on issues plaguing our communities today as we sound the alarm of truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Join the movement at UrbanFamilyTalk.com.
The Awakening on Urban Family Talk.
You know, a bunch of people who thought Obama was the Messiah. There are a lot of people who are kind of treating Trump like that.
Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Folks, I'm not looking for a Messiah. I've already got one. His name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. We put our ultimate trust in him. All other human beings are fallible.
The Awakening, weekday mornings at 9 Central on Urban Family Talk. Just as David's mighty man Benaiah chased down a lion into a pit on a snowy day, Lion Chasers champions uncommon men and women of faith who are unafraid to stand up and speak truth to power in these dark and evil days. Never before has there been such a need for people of faith to draw a line in the sand with the sword of truth. Lion Chasers, the intersection of faith and public policy with Lonnie Poindexter. Weekday mornings at 10 Central on Urban Family Talk.
Many of us use the terms praise and worship interchangeably. But Dr. Tony Evans says they're two different things, especially when it comes to how they're expressed. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
You can worship silently. You can worship with nodding. You can worship with just raising your hand. You can do all of that as part of your personal, private, just you and God worship. But you can't praise God silently. Praising God is the verbalization of worship. See, because praise must be expressed. That's why the author says, and bless the Lord, O my soul. He's calling for you to tell it, declare it, let it be known. If your worship never becomes your praise, that means you're holding up back on God. See, we give you a time for private worship. It's called communion. You get to bow your head, and there's not a lot of talking, and you get to meditate. That's worship. But that's not the same as praise. Praise is when you open your mouth and you declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. If 20,000 people can take 3 hours to praise a sports program, you can't tell me you can't open up your mouth and give God some glory. Because I'm talking about praise. And praise has to be expressed. You don't come to church just to worship, yes, but you come to church to express the worship. That's called praise.
Tony teaches about worship, oneness, success, and more in his CD series, The Spiritual Toolkit. Check it out online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Celebrate new life. You're the Milky Way. One-on-one I'm talking. Do you believe I love you when you say? I'll never leave you lonely, I'll be there. And when you learn to trust me, I'll take you somewhere.
Music of BB and CC Winans, the song Celebrate New Life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. As we start this last segment, I'm going to share a scripture, and we're going to pick up from there. But this is Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses and my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Lord, we thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity for us to hear your word and to be doers as well. Help us today, Lord, to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Lord, help us to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Lord, help us to not steal. Help us to not kill. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us to tell the truth. Help us to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, our phone guest at this time is Elizabeth Parker, my daughter, and she's a filmmaker, amongst other things. And now, one more question, Elizabeth, I want to ask you to respond to. What, in your opinion, would be some of the productive steps that young people like the ones that you had a chance to film sharing these speeches, what are some things that you think you would encourage them to do beyond being a part of an important contest like this? What are some other things you would think would be wise for them to do with their gifts, and especially with the speeches they prepared?
Well, first and foremost, I would definitely say run after God. Definitely seek God's will for their lives. And when I say that, I know it sounds so general, but at the same time, it's so important that they seek God first as far as just surrendering, because obviously they have a lot of gifts and talents there at such a young age, speaking out on such a huge topic, the topic of abortion. And at the end of the day, I know that if they seek God first and if they surrender to God, he's going to lead them in what I believe is a calling for them, a very specific calling of how to fight this, but also, in addition to just having a close relationship with, Jesus Christ and staying humble, through that close relationship with Jesus, as they walk with him daily through praying and reading his word, they're going to start to see, God is going to start to reveal certain attributes that are going to help them in their calling, very specific attributes that are going to help them in their passion and their drive for helping put an end to abortion. So first and foremost, run after God, surrender to him, and just seek his will for your life. And then definitely in doing that, stay humble, because like I said, these guys have some amazing talent. And just having a spirit of humility is going to take them so far. And all of them had such a spirit of humility. You can really see that at the Tennessee Right to Life contest. But then once, they get that down pat, I would say as far as tangible things to do, definitely, get involved. If they have the opportunity to get involved in politics, as far as speaking to their local politicians about legislation that definitely affects, this topic, talk to them. Let them know that they, as the youth of their community, are passionate. They're passionate about this, and they want to see it be put to an end. And that really does speak volumes to politicians, whether you believe it or not, when young people, you know, especially that middle school, high school, college age, they want the vote. So they're going to listen. So if they have the opportunity to get involved with legislation, do so. Volunteer at Women's Health Centers. You know, I had the opportunity to not only volunteer with the Women's Health Center, I used to be on the board of one as well. And being able to see up close and personal on a frontline level of how your efforts are really going to affect and help the woman who has to face this decision makes all the difference in the world. I think everyone who has a passion and a drive for this should in some capacity volunteer at a women's help center so they can see it up, you know, up close and personal, so they can be involved with it up close and personal.
Right.
And then ultimately share what they know with their fellow peers, because it's sad to say some of their peers are going to be facing this decision or probably already have faced this decision, you know, whether or not to choose life or choose abortion. So just speaking about what they know with the God-given passion they've been given to their fellow peers, whether it be in their schools, at their churches, wherever God gives them the opportunity, speak out on it.
Amen. Amen. And thank you for sharing that, too. And, you know, Elizabeth, as you being a millennial along with lots of other millennials, there's sometimes some unique perspectives that come from your generation. But, of course, every generation needs to be founded on the Word of God, because God's Word is good for all ages and all generations. And, you know, I think of this too as it relates to, you know, Lenore's speech, and as I had a chance to hear on film the some of the other speeches that you filmed as well. One of the things that comes to my mind is it's so important for us as believers to understand we're called to be courageous and standing on the Word of God. And these a number of these speeches demonstrate great courage on the part of these young people as well. And I think of this, the reality is, sadly, there's a lot of compromise in the world today on the part of people that say they believe the Lord. Just like, for example, and no matter how tough it is for some believers to understand this, for someone to say they're pro-choice, basically, they're in disobedience to God. A pro-choice perspective is a wicked one. Because it leaves the door open to say it's okay to kill some babies sometimes. That's clearly against the Word of God. But sadly, you have a lot of leaders, they're afraid to speak out and to say that because they know some of their supporters or the people that they work with wouldn't like that. But the reality is that's why there's such a need for courage on the part of believers to stand up for what's true, because truth is what sets people free. But sadly, when people are not courageous and when they're timid or fearful, many times, sadly, God's will may not get done in certain situations. So young people like these that spoke out clearly and courageously through the speeches they shared, God can use them. And again, I'm hoping that the Lord will raise up a lot more young people like them that will do the same thing, courageously speaking out for life. That honors the Lord, too. So
and then also keep in mind that it's spiritual warfare, you know?
That's right.
And that relationship with staying close to God and being dependent on their relationship with God, our relationship with God, that is what's going to break strongholds. You know, that is what's going to make their speeches and the opportunities that they have effective. You know, it's God working through them.
That is so true. Truth is what sets people free, and again, truth spoken in love, but the need is for us to really do our job and not, you know, like in the church, whether you're speaking of pastoral leaders or missionaries or Sunday school teachers, again, God doesn't call us to babysit people. He calls us to speak truth and to challenge people to hear God's word and to be doers of his word as well. Lord, we thank you again for young people like those that did these speeches. But Lord, we ask that you'd move upon the hearts of many more young people to stand up for truth, to get into your word, to read your word, and to stand on your word, knowing that you don't call us to compromise. You call us to stand for truth and to love people enough to tell them the truth rather than tell them something that might seem easier or what they might want to hear. Help us to know, Lord, that you're looking for believers that are willing to be courageous in hearing your word and living out your word as well. Lord, we pray that you'd raise up many more young people and adults and people of all ages that will hear your word and speak your word in every situation. And Lord, help us to know, Lord, that it's a privilege and it's an honor, but it's also a great responsibility for us to have your truth. And we're stewards of that truth, and it's our job to preach it, to teach it, to live by it, and to follow it each and every day. Lord, help us with every passing day more and more to grow in our love for your word and our commitment to reading and meditating on your word each and every day. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Our time is almost gone, Elizabeth. Anything additionally that you wanted to share about your experience in filming that you think would be encouraging to our listeners today?
I'd probably say, you know, I wanted to add one more additional thing as far as what, you know, young people can do to get involved, you know, with this is, of course, if they have the opportunity to participate in the Right to Life contest in their own state, to do so. It's an amazing experience, especially if you have a natural competitive spirit, mm-hmm. but you also have a passion for, you know, the pro-life cause, mm-hmm. because this is a great way to exert some of that competitive energy, but direct it in a purposeful way,
that's right.
a way that God can really use. So I encourage, you know, even if you're, of course, out of high school, encourage your local high schoolers, whether it be in your church youth group or, you know, if you're a teacher and, you know, you teach at a school, encourage them to get involved with it. And then if there are any youth listening who are in high school, you know, in the upcoming year, get involved with it, because it's definitely worth the fight. This is a part of the fight, the effort to put an end to abortion.
That's yeah. right. That's right. Let me give my email one more time, jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. If you have a son or a daughter or a young person that you know of that would be interested in being involved in a project that would be utilizing the gifts and talents of young people to help speak out on this issue, please get in touch with us. Once again, jparker@afa.net. Elizabeth, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Dad.
It's an honor to have you once again. And again, thank you again for taking upon yourself to film the project as you did. And our hope is to get a lot of good mileage out of the film that you put together. Thank you for being a part of our listening family and being a part of the broadcast today. Again, pray for God to raise up more and more warriors that will stand for life and against the tragedy of abortion, wherever they may find that. Let's, as the church, be courageous enough to get heavily involved. Lord, thank you for the opportunity for us as the church to be aggressive, a church that's standing for life and helping to end the tragedy of abortion in our lifetime. We thank you and praise you for the chance to be involved. Fill us afresh with your spirit of joy, courage, and grace to be all that you want us to be in doing this. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.